Welcome back. It's hour two of Darkness Radio here on AM 1130, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. I'm Tim Dennis filling in for Dave Schrader. And folks, you know, a lot of people think for some reason, and I don't know why this is, but they think that the voice at the beginning of the show is Dave. And we keep telling you it's not. It's my old boss from KLBB, Reed Hagen. And at this time, I want to bring Reed on the phone before we get back to Karen Dahlman. Reed's on the phone right now. Hi, Reed.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
See, now that's not Dave. We keep telling people. We've been telling them for years. They're like, Dave does the beginning of the show, right? We're like, no, that's not Dave's voice.
Well, maybe they think I'm Dave pretending to be Reed. So, you know, you never know.
That could be.
I just wanted to call real quick and wish you a happy birthday. Doesn't seem like it was 11 years ago you came up to me and said, I got this idea for a new show we're kind of putting together and mulling about, and I got a little copy here for you. Would you cut this? And yeah, we'll see. We'll see if something happens. Probably not. And who would have thought that 11 years later,
Jay
would have this successful radio show?
Well, we can debate on successful, but yeah, it's still going strong, and you know what, Reed, I can't say too much right now, but maybe off the air, you and I can talk. We're going to be adding a couple more shows per week in a very prestigious format that I can't talk about yet, but yeah, we may be talking soon, because we're going to kind of mix things up a little bit.
You've got my number.
I do.
I have to go back to my reincarnated pet here. So
there you go. Oh, you have a reincarnated pet?
No.
Oh.
I just have a new cat. The other one went off to wherever they go.
Okay, now wait a minute. I want you to stay right there. Hold on. Let me bring in Karen. I'm going to bring in Karen real quick. Now, Karen.
I'm here.
You're there. Okay. Now, Reed, what's your pet's name?
My current pet is a cat. He's 1 year old. He's called Spanky.
Spanky. All right.
How cute.
Now, Karen, can you do me a small favor?
Sure.
Can you tell me, is Spanky reincarnated from any other pet that Reed has had in the past?
Intuitively, I'm feeling that he's not.
He's not. Okay.
Like, this is a new soul that's come to you.
Okay.
Well, actually, he did pick me out, because after the other cat left us, I spent a couple of weeks and thought, I need a new kitten. Went to the Humane Society. The ones I would saw online that I wanted to get were already spoken for, and they had one that was, I guess he was like 12 weeks old, and I walked by, and he was sleeping, and he got up and stuck his paw out at me, and I said, that's the one I want, so.
By the way, they do often pick us. It might be through our mind. We get a message, or we get an image or a feeling. But yes, this one actually literally picked you. I've had a cat recently pick me too at my back door. So yes, they come to you because they sense that you're the next person they're going to be with. So there's definitely a bond, and the bond's great, especially when they pick you like that. That's beautiful, Reed.
Yeah, he picked me, and he waits no matter what time of night, as quiet as I try to get. He's always at the door when I get home. Oh. Now he's sitting at the floor staring at me. So,
Well, yeah. Reed, do you remember? Now I want to see if you remember, because I don't know if I remember this correctly. Do you remember at KLBB when I asked you, how do I get my voice lower, what advice you gave me?
I said probably smoke and drink. Smoke cigarettes and drink. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was smoke cigars and drink Chivas Regal.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tried. I got the smoke cigars part right. I haven't quite got the Chivas Regal down.
Okay.
I'm trying, though. Trying.
You're sounding good. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. I'll let you get back to the show, and many more successful years. Give me a holler sometime.
I will, Reed. I miss you, and I appreciate you giving us a phone call.
Okay, take care. Say hi to Dave.
I will. Thank you, Reed.
You bet.
Bye-bye. That's Reed Hagen, folks. That's the guy who, and I tell you, I worship the ground that Reed walks on. He is an amazing broadcaster, and he's worked with legends like Joyce Lamont, and I tell you, I absolutely, like I said, I admire Reed like there's no tomorrow, and he is the voice you hear at the beginning, and still hear at the beginning of the program. When Dave and I are here, we play that, you know, because obviously, Karen, if I'm here and Dave's not here, we're not going to play a post that says Dave and Tim.
Right.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I always wondered whose voice that was, too. So that was really cool to actually talk to him.
Yeah, that's Reed. He's an amazing broadcaster. Neat. He was my boss over at KLBB, I look up to him highly. And you know what's funny is when he went in to cut the script, we gave him the script, and Dave had written the script. And he looked at me and he said, "So how do you want me to read this?" And I said, "How do you want to read it?" And he said, "No, I guess I'll read it like an old Orson Welles script." And I said,
"It sounds like that. How perfect is this for it? It's beautiful.
It's perfect." And when he read it, I went, "That's perfect." So yeah, that's kind of a little insight as to how that whole thing got cut. We were talking before the break, and I'll kind of ask you one quick question here, and then we'll jump into our first break of the hour here. We were talking about our pets and how they adapt, how adaptable they are to different situations. And we know that again, we started to in the first hour dip into I want to say it's the I don't want to use the evil nature of humans, but let's just say the not so nice nature of humans, and that there are situations that in domestic situations you get times where maybe kids play with pets too hard, or they don't understand, or or you get older, maybe you have I'm trying to think of how I could put this. Maybe you get some older adults that are in the home that are rough on pets, or I don't want to say an abusive situation, but there's a different dynamic, a family dynamic. Maybe you have some family members in the home that are gentle towards the pets, other that are rough. And there's a kind of a seesaw battle going on. And that much like with humans, you've got children who learn to avoid one person while going to another, while trying to figure out how they deal with different dynamics in a home. I would suppose that with pets, it's the same way as well. But with humans, you have emotional damage. You have things that they need to get through in order to get to adulthood. But sometimes when getting to adulthood, that emotional trauma as a child affects them in different ways. And sometimes it's negative. When it comes to pets, it doesn't sound like that's the case, or is it?
It still is the case. Again, they want to thrive and grow and evolve and live and love and have fun. My spirits love to call it have cat fun, where you just make fun out of anything. I have three cats, so I reference the cats a lot because they talk to me all the time, with or without the board. But what happens is if they are abused, and this happens, sometimes people get mean, and sometimes they mistakenly abuse, but animals get abused just like humans do. And there's a memory, but it's instinctual memory. It's not necessarily I'm going to hold a grudge, I'm going to judge you for it. I just might avoid you more often instinctually. I may just want to get out of that place more instinctually. I may cower when you come towards me, but I'm going to love you no matter what unconditionally. But instinctually, I might be scared. So it becomes more ingrained in their instincts. For example, I have two cats I adopted, and I've had them for 9 years. I got them when they were 3 and 4, but they were in a house where they were not treated well. The gentleman who had them, just a gentleman, the ugly man who had them would kick one of the cats and throw him. And this cat came to me just cowering in a corner and scared. And listen, my house is like full of cat love. It's like, you're your cat, you're going to want to be here. In fact, the cats come to my back door often. So this cat was just terrified. I was like, what the heck has happened to this cat? So he didn't even want to talk on the board, but instinctually I knew there was a problem. And so I found out that this guy had kicked him and beat him and all this stuff. And so this cat is such a loving cat, but yet instinctually he has a slight fear when people come to the house. He has a fear of men and shoes and boots and quick movements. And it's not that he's not going to love me or love others. It's that he's going to go, oh, that's a quick movement. I better go hide or cower or, you know, go somewhere to get out of that space. And it becomes instinctual. But he's not holding a grudge, and the animals love to be rescued. They love to have love back. I mean, they tell me this, all the animals do. They can sense a love, because even the wild animals, because love is a higher vibration, and it's a vibration that draws them to it. So, these animals don't have, like, therapeutic problems or issues, and they don't necessarily remember everything, but instinctually they do. It's ingrained in them, unfortunately.
When we come back, let's talk a little bit about wild animals and what happens when there is a lack of that emotion, a lack of love, the survival of the fittest And what's the difference between a wild animal and a domesticated animal? Our guest is Karen Dahlman. When we come back, we'll talk about that difference here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio, Darkness Radio. Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader, who's back on Monday with Parashare and Supernatural News. And, of course, we'll be doing that live from the fair, live on tape. So you'll hear the tape version. We'll be doing it live out at the fair. Of course, gifts will be enjoyed if you choose to bring them. We like corn dogs. We like brisket. We like barbecue. Anything you can buy from the fair that we can eat. Of course, those do involve animals. And that brings up our next guest here, Karen Dahlman. I'm sorry, Karen. Those things are made of animals. They're very tasty. I can't apologize for that. I'm sorry. I do enjoy a good corn dog. I'm not going to lie. Is that bad of me?
How about a good tofu corn dog?
Ugh, tofu. I'm sorry. I can't get into tofu. I can't do it.
No, don't eat soy. Don't eat soy. Yeah, again, I'm not here to tell anybody they should eat meat or not eat meat. I'm just saying what the animal feels. They'd love to be treated humanely.
Right.
Yeah. They do have a purpose, yeah. And so it's all good. I think we just need to probably look at the way we're treating our animals. That's probably the biggest takeaway from this.
Sure, sure. I'm not dismissing that, by the way. I'm just saying sure.
Sure.
I love bacon, sure.
Sure.
No, I'm kidding. Let me ask you this. Now, we have the domesticated animal situation. In a perfect world, we would, we pick up our, that sounds so bad. That sounds so callous. If I say we pick up our animals at a shelter, we would get our pets from a shelter. We would adopt. We wouldn't buy from puppy mills or from animal mills. We would treat all animals humanely. But then there is the rule of nature, and there are wild animals out there. Mm-hmm. And there's the difference between a domesticated animal and a wild animal, at least in human terms. A lot of times on the show, we talk about cryptids, cryptozoology. You talk about Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. You talk about, the Beast of Bray Road. You talk about dogmen. You talk about
Chupacabra.
Yeah. You talk about these animals that, as you put it, they're just out there doing their thing. They're out there eating and surviving and doing whatever they can. Is there such a thing as unconditional love when it comes to a creature like Bigfoot or the Dogman or Chupacabra?
Listen, I talked to the consciousness of Bigfoot. I just love Bigfoot as well. And the research behind it, what people are doing. Absolutely. Now, when we say unconditional love to us from them, we got to now reframe that now with some of the other energies, the other kind of animals and animal-like things you're talking about. Because, again, as Owl told me, we hunt. We're killing machines. I mean, that's what they do. And they, they rip those animals up and eat them. That's the way of life. So I can't, we can't really condemn an animal for existing the way it needs to exist per how it's born to exist. So that's one thing we have to look at. So sharks are going to eat you. You hear all kinds of horror stories about, interdimensional beings kinds of things. I mean, I can't speak to that so much. But everybody has, every living thing, energy that exists has its way of surviving. And so it may or may not fit into what we want to have happen. So we have to look at it that way too, from their perspective as well.
But see, okay, let me rewind a little bit. I'm going to throw a scenario at you. And this isn't going to be the most cuddly scenario I can think of. But you've got a guy who's out in the woods, and let's say he's deer hunting. Okay, automatically, not cuddly scenario. But he's up in a tree, and he's sitting there. And, of course, he's waiting for his prey to come along. And there's a bobcat. Okay. Bobcat looks at him. Guy looks at Bobcat. Automatically, the first thing they're not thinking of is a nice little cuddle. Or I want to pet the Bobcat and the Bobcat wants mm-hmm. to snuggle. That's not the first thing that comes up between the two. In a domesticated situation where it's a kitty cat, it's a house cat, and a guy without a gun, you know, the first thing might be, oh, come over here, little kitty. Let me pet you. There's got to be different instincts there.
Absolutely. It's like the rattlesnake in my backyard. I mean, if I got too close to that thing and when it was coiled up, it would have struck at me because I'm now interfering in its space, which it believes is its. And by the way, rattlesnakes are territorial. Who knew? But they're territorial. And so it's me getting in his space. So there's respect there. And it's, again, it's instinctual, and it's also what we've learned as humans. Yeah, if I'm out running or out walking, which I do often, I like this hike, there could be bobcats, maybe a cougar, I don't know. I'd have fear. And they would sense the fear and have fear themselves too. Maybe see me as their dinner or maybe want to attack because I'm in their space. So that happens. It's not because... they're not on a wavelength of unconditional love. It's they're because they're on the wavelength of this is how I'm raised to be, and we have to respect that. I mean, we're animals too. This is how we're raised to be, and we have that fight or flight. And animals have the same thing too, the same kind of instincts of that nature. We are not that removed from being an animal. We have instincts too.
With that being said, with that divide there. I can't imagine it probably is almost impossible to domesticate a wild animal. The opposite is, I think, true, where you could take a domesticated animal, throw them out in the wild, and if they found a pack, they could probably find their wild instincts. Would you say that's true? Have you ever communicated with a domestic animal who's found their way back out into the wild and said, you know what, I found a different way and I think it's maybe better?
I've communicated with feral cats before who've always been out in the wild. Yet, you know, so many thousands of years having, you know, that kind of cat species, there's still that attachment. They may be afraid of movements and people, but yet they kind of still come around civilization. They know that they depend on us for food. Now, people have, in a way, since this put quote-unquote domesticated wild animals. I know people who have animals show up at their house that are wounded or need help, or lions. You've heard of the woman with her lion story, and the lion recognized her many years later after she helped him heal as a younger lion. I mean, there's people that have wild animals that have you know, needed help, like deer and rabbits, and these animals stick around, and there becomes a bond. I want to talk about that. It brings up a great point about the wild animals and how they, too, can have these bonds with humans that you may not always think can happen. We're seeing it more and more because of social media and our ability to reach around the world and see what's happening. So we're being shown more instances of this. So people that know me and follow me on Facebook will see that I always have these hummingbirds in my yard. And I love just to sit in the garden and watch them, and I watch them make their nests and do their eggs and brood on them. And then I look at their eggs, I take pictures, and I put them on Facebook, and then I watch the babies hatch, and I capture this, and I watch their lives, and I'm always feeding them, I get them hummingbird food, or I'm just present, but I'm always careful, and I'm always telling gardeners or anybody out there, don't get near this nest, and I'm pointing them out. I'm very careful about them.
Mm-hmm.
So one year, this is just recently, this last year, or actually, yeah, it was last year, I had this nest, and in this nest was this mother with two eggs, and the first baby, hatches, and the other one hatches a little after. Well, the first baby gets bigger quicker, and it leaves the nest a couple days before the second baby does. So I watched this first baby leave the nest, you know, gets stuck on the edge and finally flies away, and there's a mother. And then all of a sudden, I go out there to check on this baby, and there's this dead hummingbird on the ground, okay? And I thought, oh, my God, somebody killed the mother. It's right by the nest. What happened? And the mother was nowhere around. I watched the nest. I kept watching it for hours and hours and hours the next day, and there was no mother. And I went to the nest, and the baby was just frozen like it was dead. And I went, oh, no. So I touched the hummingbird lightly. And by the way, you shouldn't touch any wild animals, but I thought if it was dead, I was going to, I already had called a wild habitat and said, how do you take care of this? Can you guys come get it? I was already doing that. But I wanted to touch it to see if it was alive, and it didn't move, and I was so certain it was dead. So I kept doing all this research, trying to figure it out, had other people helping me, and I was just trying to get this, you know, what's going on with the hummingbird. Next thing I know, a mother comes back. I'm watching. She feeds this bird, and the bird the following day leaves the nest. And I went, what was that? I was shocked at it. So I didn't think much of it other than, okay, good, it didn't die. There was some other bird that died. It wasn't the mother, and it wasn't the babies. Okay, so I had a hummingbird feeder. It was empty. I went outside to go fill it up. I come inside, fill it up, walk back outside. This bird out of nowhere comes towards the hummingbird feeder, comes right up to me in my face, starts touching my fingers and trying to drink before I even put the hummingbird feeder down. I never had a hummingbird so assertive. And so I sat out there and I go, I can't believe this is happening. So I stuck my hand by the feeder again. It came over, got on my hand. It then drank and then flew over to my face. I have a picture of this on Facebook, too, by the way. Flew right at me, looked at me, turned around, and went back to drink. And we did this for several days in a row. So I had to leave town. When I came back, I had to fill the feeder again. And there he was again, the same hummingbird. So I thought, this is really strange how friendly this one is. So I decided to speak to hummingbird consciousness. And this is what the hummingbird consciousness said, he felt no fear or worry from you. And by the way, it is your fear that creates the vibration that makes them flee. He saw you. He said you and he both saw each other as family. And it worked perfectly until you began again to feel some sort of worry. So he'd come and he'd go and he'd come and he'd go. And they said the bottom line was, because you exerted so much care about him when you thought he was dead, and you were trying to do everything you could to rescue this poor bird, that it felt like you were part of its territory, part of its family, that it remembered you as long as you stayed in the vibration of lack of fear or worry that he would flee. So every time I went out there, I was in this vibration of, okay, I'm feeding you, come on down, you're my family. And sure enough, he would come. And one day, I was in this big window by outside, inside, looking out at the hummingbird feeder. He went past the hummingbird feeder, came to the window, and stood there in midair and flew and looked at me. With my cat's right there staring at him, no fear, but right at face level to me. And I just knew instinctively, intuitively, and that's how the animals communicate. It's a really intuitive thing inside, mm-hmm. that was him again. So we had this bond. Here's a wild little bird, but the bond is there because you're part of their territory. And if you can get them where they sense you as part of their family, that's when the bonds start happening and they can become, quote unquote, kind of like domesticated animals where you actually communicate and interact with them.
I want to take a break here, Karen, but when we come back, I want to talk about people who overstep that bond, who maybe don't have that intuitiveness, and maybe who think they're doing right but are actually doing wrong. And there have been some cases in the news that I want to talk about that address that situation. When people who think they're doing right are doing wrong with animals, we'll talk about that with Karen next on Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. Our guest is Karen Dolman, and we are talking animal communication, both dead and alive. Before the break, we were talking about having an intuitive bond with animals. Karen, kind of knowing when to step in, when to aid animals. And let's talk about when that bond goes way wrong, because, you know, in the news recently, we've had, let's just call a spade, when idiots step in and they say, oh, I'm going to help this animal. I'm going to put it in the back of my car. I'm going to pick it up and help it, the poor little animal. And you've just ruined the ecosystem of that particular tribe of animal. There are certain places humans aren't meant to go. There are things that we aren't meant to do. There's a stop and start point where we're not supposed to cross. I understand one thing: if an animal has itself caught in a trap, and if you're very careful to release that animal out of a trap and let them go free, it's another thing to go into a national park, look at an animal, and decide you're going to cover it in a blanket and put it in your car because you think it's cold, which is completely bizarre logic to me. Explain to our listeners what's the difference between logical intuition and when you're taking that step too far, when you should probably back up and maybe get off the crazy train and gather yourself?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Animals, a lot of animals can be very, very cute, and appeals to our senses and to our heart. But you're right. Animals in the wild really need to be in the wild and need to be left there. And the best thing to do is to call your local, whether it's the wildlife or whoever can, the department that can help you. I remember one time I was at a beach here in California, and there was this seagull, and pelican. They're huge. And I was walking up to it on one side. I was like, what is this pelican doing here around people? And people were starting to take pictures. And I pushed everybody away and said, you guys, give it space. Does anybody know it's on the beach? I looked to the other side of his beak, and it was half a space that was by his beak was ripped off because it got caught in a hook. And this poor animal doesn't want to be around people, came up to people because they didn't know what to do. It was stunned. So the lifeguards called the animal group here that deals with wild animals, and they came and they took care of that animal and did what they needed to do with it to help it. It was like a rescue center. So it's really important, you see something like that, to call the officials. And we shouldn't just think we can take care of them ourselves. We really can't. They need their environment in which they thrive. You know, again, we talked about that dolphin. It gets caught in the net. It's no longer thriving in an environment in which it loves and knows and can do the best within and to grow and evolve. And so we really needed the animals in the wild to do that. So, we really got to have our smarts about that. We just don't take wild animals home. Because it'll end up probably hurting them in the most part than helping them.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a couple of questions. I have my friend Joe in studio here with me, and he actually came up with some really good questions. We live in kind of a rural area. And these two, when he brought these up, I had my holy S moment and went, you know what? He's right. I have a friendly rivalry with the deer in my area. And this is what it is. I drive home very late at night, sometimes 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And for some reason, as I'm driving home, it's very dark at night. I have my high beams on. I seem to have, this is my intuitive moment, Karen. Are you ready for this? I know when these little suckers are going to jump out in front of my truck. I feel it. It's like a tightening of my gut. Like when somebody catches you going to the refrigerator trying to sneak a snack, it's that jumpy moment. And almost immediately after I have that jumpy moment, there they are, right there on the edge of the road about to cross. Now, this happens, I would say, an average of 5 to 6 times a week. And I only work 5 days a week. What is it about deer that they want to run in front of your car? They see you coming. It isn't like, you know, it isn't like this is a huge surprise. We drive very loud vehicles with a lot of lights in a rural area where it's very dark. There's no surprise here. We even have sometimes in the rural areas, we have these little deer whistles on the front of our vehicles to let them know that we're coming. We'll blast our stereo. There's no surprise here. Why do they want to jump out in front of our trucks and our cars?
Simple. They're startled and scared, and they're just trying to escape, and they don't know which way to go. So it's just, it's their instinctual reaction to fight or flight, and in this case, to flee, and they'll flee any direction they can. It seems like every time you drive down a road, there's an animal that's on the side of the road. Instead of going back into the bushes, they go across the street.
Yes.
That's just natural for them to do. They're afraid. There's lights all of a sudden, and they hear it, and they know it's coming, but they don't know which way to go, and that's their natural instinct. But what's really cool is that you've developed this way to avoid them by somehow sensing that they're there. And so you're in some type of intuitive space with them or communication space. You're on their energy level, feeling them, if you want to use those words. It's like you tuned into their vibration. And really, this is how animal communication works. It's like dialing the frequency to match the vibration of the animal in which you want to communicate. And you're doing it on a way of maybe it's to protect your car, protect you. You don't want to hit the animals. It'll slow, it hurts them. It'll slow you down. You want to get home. It's late. You don't want that havoc. And what comes with all of that when it happens. So you've developed this kind of inner radar system, if you will, that allows you to help yourself with that. That's really cool. So when you communicate with the animals, that's how you do it. You begin developing how to connect with them. Maybe it's connecting with a species of deer, as you've done, or it's connecting with the household pets you have. And we, you know, we have time. We can talk about ways people can learn to do that themselves. I have a whole step process in doing it. But also, just so your listeners know, on my website, I have an article I wrote about this, about animal communication, that you may want to read too, in case they don't get to everything we talked about, we're trying to talk about tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? We'll do that in the next segment here. We're going to go to break here in a second. But is it like, do deer look at our vehicles like UFO? I mean, do they get that scared? Like, if we were to see an alien in the sky coming at us, like, we'd run in the same fashion. Is it kind of like that?
No, most deer have seen vehicles before.
Oh, okay.
Just that all of a sudden, here it is. What are we going to do?
Oh, okay.
They're not thinking.
All right.
The animals aren't going, oh, what's going to happen in 5 minutes, 10 minutes from now? I'm just going to eat my grass here and just keep walking along and getting my food. And then all of a sudden it happens, and they're not prepared for it, you know, for that reason. They're not thinking about what's going to come in those regards.
Okay. And then the last question before we go to break here, and Joe brought this one up. I thought it was brilliant, too. You're driving along the road. Here comes a squirrel. He's three quarters of the way across the road, and all of a sudden he turns tail and goes the exact opposite way back in front of your car again. Why?
Exactly.
Why?
Same thing. It's happened to me many times. Squirrels and quail, they do this. They're just notorious for just, I'm panicking. What am I going to do? Do I go right? Do I go left? I just got to scurry. I don't know what I'm doing. It's just a panic. That's all it is. It's natural instinctual panic.
How come we don't have that instinct? I've never.
Oh, we do. Think of times you're trying to make decisions and you waffle back and forth. I don't know what to do. Should I choose? Should I not choose? It's that kind of thing. You're just not going to do it in front of a coming car.
But exactly. I've never crossed the street at pedestrian traffic in traffic, and I've never run back into the intersection because I don't know what to do. I just get the heck across the road.
This, how many cars get toppled and stuck at railroad crossings?
Well, that's
somebody's
true.
Somebody's trying to beat it, or, you know, that's the same thing as the animal. We're trying to beat it, not sure which way to go. So we do silly things.
Well, and I just thought of something, too. You didn't see the foot traffic out at the Minnesota State Fair today. Everybody's walking in every direction everywhere, and it is mass confusion. The things that Karen was talking about on her website, Karen Dahlman, DAHLMAN.com. Also, creativevisionspublications.com, right, Karen?
Put an A in my middle initial in, so it was Karen A.
Oh, I'm sorry, Karen A. Dahlman.com. I didn't see that part. I'm sorry. No. Karen A. Dahlman, DAHLMAN.com. Check it out during the break. When we come back, let's talk about how you can start opening up the way to communicate with your pets. Karen will tell you all about that when we come back here on Darkness Radio.
If I could talk to the animals, I just imagine it chatting with a chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. Oh, what a neat achievement it would be. If we could talk to the animals and learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, a buffalo and beagle, an alligator, guinea pig and flea.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. Karen Dahlman is our guest. And when we left you last, we were talking about talking to the animals, Karen. So how do we open up that channel of communication if we want to talk to our pets?
Well, I have to say, Dr. Doolittle is one of my most favorite characters, and I love this movie, Talking to the Animals. So we can do this, and children do it quite naturally. And many of you out there probably might have had these experiences as a child or feel like you understand your pet. Now, this is beyond reading body language and just knowing their habits and their rituals and like the food they like. But trust me, there's times when you'll get all of a sudden be sitting down and you think, oh, I need to go give my dog some water, and just out of the blue, or he wants a treat. And you just know that too. So they're constantly communicating to us. We have to open up the channel. When I started talking to them on the Ouija board, one of the means I used, they were kind of like, this is silly. We talk to you all the time. I said, well, I kind of want to have this form of communication too, since you guys opened it to me. And they think it's funny, but they'll do it just because they want to please us. And yet now the conversations with them have become quite verbose, and many of the animals come through quite verbose. And I think it's because, they're used to being around verbose people like myself. Or it's just that they have a lot to tell you because you haven't been listening. So how you do it, the easiest way to do it is to look into the animal's eyes. Be with your pet and just sit quietly, silently, in a relaxed state and allow your pet just to relax, whether they're near you or on the floor. Just look into their eyes. If their eyes are closed, what I'd like to do is touch them. So I like to be near them and then just pet them. And just get in a rhythm of that and let them enjoy the petting. They may, you know, their leg might move because they want to be scratched some more, or they might purr, or whatever pet your pet does. But be in the moment of that and just relax with your animal. And as you begin to do this more and more and just are silent with them while you do that, you may get a feeling inside. You may get an image. The idea is you don't want to go, oh, that's not real. Don't want to trust it. You want to just allow these images and feelings to flow. And as they begin to you get the pictures and the feelings flow, you may get words. And then you may get thoughts. And then you may get a whole sentence. And that's what I do. One of my cats I was petting, this is quite a few years ago, several years ago, and this is the one that was really abused. And I was just petting him, really enjoying being with him. And I wasn't even thinking about animal communication, but I was just petting him, enjoying him, and letting him know how appreciative I was that he was in my life. And then I got this whole download of a story. And it was a story that he was telling me that he wanted to write a book. He knows that I write books. And he said, I have a story to tell. And it was, in a way, it was like honoring his past, but moving forward and saying, this is why cats are special. Let's see how special cats are. Now, I can't tell you the story because it's a story I'm working on right now, but my cat is actually writing the story with me. So it goes on that level where they may have a lot to say or little, but you just got to be patient and sit there with your animal and really just let them be the way they want to be, and you'll start to get some kind of communication. But it takes a while, it takes practice, and it takes patience.
All right. And what happens if you're not establishing that link immediately?
You won't establish it immediately for most people. Some people do. It's just, even if you don't ever establish it, I want to say your animal's communicating to you always, and you somehow are tied to that domestic animal, and you kind of know when they need their food or when they want to go for a walk, or maybe they're not feeling so well. So you are and they are communicating together. You just may not recognize it. But if you want to go a step further, these are ways to get more of images and feelings. They talk more in symbols and pictures and what they see, and more feelings than really words. The words have developed for me because I talk to them also through the board, the Ouija board, and they come through and they have help so they can spell. So we get great messages from them. And a lot of these messages I've been talking to you tonight, I've been speaking to you verbatim what some of the animals have given me.
I don't want to see mean about this or anything, but what if your animal just isn't into you? I mean, what if it's just...
It's true.
What if it's just like, you know what, I don't want to talk to you. I've had enough.
I'll tell you, there's sometimes I say, hey, who wants to talk to me? And they go, we don't want to talk. We're busy. We got things to do. Or they just don't want to talk. You know, I respect that too. It's like sometimes we're in a mood where we don't really feel like talking to anybody else. We want our own space. They're the same way. And then some animals are really into themselves where they just may not want to talk really at all. It's not their thing.
There's narcissistic animals?
Well, I wouldn't say narcissistic. It's just that they're more into their world. They're more focused on what they're doing, and they really don't care if they talk to the humans because they know you're going to provide for them, and they know that you care about them. See, they don't need to talk.
Okay.
This is what we humans want.
Well, I tell you what, we're up against the top of the hour here again, Karen. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about we'll just get briefly into animals passing over, communicating with them on the other side. And then let's open up phones. We'll do that here in the next hour. I know people have questions. They've been calling for the last 2 hours. People have stories that they want to talk to you about. Maybe even we'll do some communication with the other side. What do you say, Karen?
Oh, I think that's an excellent idea.
All right. We'll do that here in the next hour with Karen Dahlman. That's our guest here. Again, her websites are KarenADahlman.com, DAHLMAN. Check it out during the break, KarenADahlman.com and CreativeVisionPublications.com. More with Karen Dahlman after the break here on Darkness Radio.